Hello, guys. Thanks for tuning in to the Not the Top 20 podcast betting show. It's the second weekend of the EFL season that we are focusing on this week. I'm Ali Maxwell, and on the line, George Ellick. How are you doing, George?
Hi, mate. Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
Very, very well. How are you finding punting on the EFL so far this season? You said that opening weekend's one of your favourite weekends to punt on. What about second weekend, where we've got a little bit of data to work with, but not a lot?
Yeah, there's a couple that I like. Last weekend was fairly successful. Midweek was successful as well, backing Pompey against Birmingham. But we'll get on to Birmingham a bit later. I still think it's a similar thing where you can still be ahead of the market and you can still have your ideas about who's weaker and who's stronger than the market suggests. So hopefully still a bit of value knocking around.
Absolutely. Of course, this weekend you get teams who played at home last week playing away this week and vice versa. So still, to my eyes anyway, plenty still to happen until I feel like I've got a really clear vision on things. We, in the new structure of the betting show this season, which is still fairly loose and still very much open to change as we go, last week we picked a best bet each, one nap each, and then two next best. And we allowed ourselves the full scope of the EFL. We're not under strict orders to have one from each division this season. And as such, I'm actually leaving the Championship alone entirely this week because there was nothing that I fancied. So we both won our naps last week, Exeter for me and Forest Green for you, fairly narrowly, I think it's fair to say. And outside of that, one out of four, Lincoln were a winner, Huddersfield, Blackburn and Burton Draw No Bet were losers. So three out of six with the two naps coming in. Before we get into our selections, just a reminder to those listening that what we're talking about today, obviously punting, is for over 18s only. To learn the risks around gambling, head to gambleaware.org and please don't bet what you can't afford to lose. That's a big message from us. George, talk me through your best bet ahead of the EFL weekend.
My best bet, I kind of just mentioned it there, is Bristol City to beat Birmingham. I think this is, I mean, Birmingham obviously got their campaign off to a very good start, and a win at Brentford on the face of it, given how much we rate Brentford and how hyped Brentford are, looks like a good result. But anyone who saw the highlights or watched the game or has kind of read about it will know that it doesn't really tell the whole story. Brentford hit the bar twice early on, had pretty much all the chances of the game, had all the possession, were the better team, and Birmingham scored with their only shot in the whole match, not just the shot on target, their only shot in the game. Which was a header from about 25 yards by Christian Pedersen. So a good start to Pep Clotet's reign, but at the same time, alarm bells straight away. Then they go in midweek to Fratton Park and get absolutely demolished by League One Portsmouth. Obviously, they didn't play their strongest team. They had a lot of youngsters playing, but it was also not necessarily a particularly poor team. Dan Crowley, the golden boy, the big hope for this season, started in centre midfield as well, and they were just taken apart. Again, they only had one shot at all up to the hour mark. Once they were 3-0 down, they managed three more. So that's five shots in two games, two of which on target. Massive, massive concerns about the way that they're set up, I think. And Bristol City, on the other hand, had an opening day defeat at home, 3-1 against Leeds. But in a similar story, I think that Leeds are the class team in this league. We saw straight away that they maintain the fact that they are the ones to beat, and they've justified their favouritism. Bristol City are going to have much, much easier games coming on, and you look at the quality in their team and in their squad, there's plenty of it. Bristol City fancied by many to be a top four or a top five team. Birmingham fancied to be a relegation threatened team, and just on the back of those opening day fixtures, I see no reason, even though Birmingham have the home advantage, I see no reason why they're more likely to win in 90 minutes than Bristol City. So at 19-10, Bristol City is my best bet.
I'm heading down to League 2 for my nap. League 2 heavy selections for me in general this weekend. Plymouth to beat Colchester, 2.15 you can find with BetVictor if you use Odds Checker to find your best price, which is always a good thing to do. Look, I'm not ready to be fully on your Plymouth Ryan Lowe bandwagon yet. At the same time, you know, they were really the most impressive winners in League Two last weekend, winning away at Crewe. It was a fast start, and they were ahead before Crewe could really realise what had happened. And a 3-0 win, hugely impressive. So to find them over even money at home to a Colchester side that drew 1-1 with Port Vale, that as discussed in pre-season, a Colchester side that I'm not just assuming is going to be a playoff candidate just because they were last season. I have some reservations about who they lost in the summer, which I have gone through plenty of times. So let's focus on Plymouth. I saw a quote from Richie Wellens this week, which I think sums things up pretty well. When he was asked who he expected to challenge at the top of League Two, he spoke about Plymouth and he said, look, this is half of a team that was in League One last season, albeit relegated, and half of a team that was promoted from League Two last season. So, you know, all the sort of things that you were saying pre-season, they started so well. In Byron Moore and Joel Grant, who started up front for them last weekend, how many goals are they going to get me? For personally, the jury's still out there. But Grant, to be fair, took his goal really, really well. And Byron Moore, again, looks like a handful. He's such a mobile attacking player. His movement is good. He's a skillful player. So he's got plenty to offer aside from just goals. The midfield three of Sarcevic and Edwards sitting behind Danny Mayer, I think does provide the balance that Mayer needs to thrive. So, and obviously McFadyen scoring two from left wing back is not going to happen too often, but it just shows that his relationship with Mayer and his attacking intent is alive and well in this Ryan Lowe 3-5-2 system. So on a Colchester side of things, not that impressive really, drawing 1-1 with Port Vale. From what I've seen watching the game back and looking on Y Scout, they really created just the one proper chance which they took, and it was Port Vale who arguably had the better chances on the balance of play. So while Colchester had most of the ball, they wouldn't, yeah, unimpressive, I would suggest. So it could be, and this is my concern, that you know, if we can look at the end of last season, they had a couple of good results, beating Lincoln and MK Dons in games where they had less of the ball, where they were playing, I guess, a bit more on the counter attack. So it could be that Colchester are more suited to playing like that, and they might find some openings against Plymouth if Plymouth are, as I expect, playing on the front foot. But generally, I'm thinking Home Park's going to be rocking. Plymouth on the front foot. Mayer doing good things. And, you know, I think this is one of those nice early season prices where if Plymouth are as good as you think they're going to be and as good as they were last
year. Don't blame me if this goes wrong. I don't want that.
No, it's fair. If they are as good as you think they're going to be, if they're as good as they were last weekend, I don't think the likes of 2.15, which Bet Victor are offering for them to win any home game, I think that's always going to look quite good. So Plymouth, my nap for the weekend. Let's move on to other selections. We're both going to pick two more from across the EFL. And then we've got a sort of bonus, haven't we? Again, very loose-ended. I've got a goal scorer selection, which I'm going to go through, and you'll find you will have found something else which you can tell us about. But first of all, best bets from across the EFL. Next best.
I mean, even though we're not doing it league by league this season, for some reason, my three bets come from each league, and this is in League One, where at odds on, I'm backing Fleetwood to beat AFC Wimbledon. I think that Fleetwood, we underestimated, despite being positive about their chances, I think we underestimated them. In our preview show, I am predictions podcast, I should say. I'm annoyed with myself for not going with my feeling against Peterborough last weekend and backing Fleetwood, where they beat Posh 3-1. I mean, the extra data for that game suggests it was a little bit closer than the scoreline in 3-1 suggested is. But at the same time, this is a Fleetwood team absolutely oozing in quality. We talked about Coutts being one of the signings of the summer. You add to that the likes of Josh Morris and Jordan Rossiter. These guys came in and looked very, very comfortable straight away. Some speculation that Wes Burns may be on his way today. I don't think that's been confirmed yet either way. I don't think it'd be a huge loss, to be honest. And obviously, Ched Evans signing gives them a massive boost up top and will definitely bring goals. And it wouldn't be a surprise to see him come straight into this game against Wimbledon. AFC went down to a decent Rotherham side on opening day, but Rotherham deserved to win that. And lots of talk about the AFC Wimbledon unbeaten run on the road, which I think goes back to February. But I'm not really too fussed about that. And if that's why we're getting a slightly bigger price, then I'm all the happier for it. So it is a shade of odds on. Nothing particularly glamorous. But Fleetwood, I wouldn't be surprised if Fleetwood were one of the early pace setters in this division. And having gone to Peterborough and got a result, I think they might make it 6 points from six on Saturday.
Good stuff. I am taking one of my favourite teams from pre-season and a winner from last weekend, and that is Swindon, to beat Carlisle. You can get just over even money, 2.05 at 21 to 20 if you prefer your fractions. That's with Boyle Sports. Generally, 1.95 is basically what you're going to get, and some going as low as 1.9. So it might be that the price goes and gets back towards odds on. So I'm just going to take it while I still can. Carlisle got the win against Crawley at home in their opening fixture. It's obviously been a tumultuous summer of sorts for Carlisle because they've had a lot of squad churn and a lot of players coming in. But they seem to do okay. I think the key performer for them was Nathan Thomas. And, you know, he's got good memories of playing for this team. And he was instantly really bright, a big threat for them, and looked electric, to be honest. So I think for Carlisle, Nathan Thomas is someone to watch for sure. But generally, that game against Crawley could have gone either way. It was a tight game. Crawley created plenty, five or six good chances against this Carlisle side. Generally that game played a few more times probably wouldn't end with Carlisle winning more often than not. So I think, you know, we saw Swindon beat Scunthorpe, hugely impressive opening day victory, very much on the counter, both of their goals. And it might be that that's what they're suited to, and that they may struggle to break teams down who sit deep, who sit in a low block. I saw that Carlisle played 4-5-1. They have the ability to sit in if needed. But the fact that Crawley were able to create so much against them makes me feel better about this bet. For the moment, I think Isgrove, Woolery and Anderson behind Jerry Yates looks like a really tidy front four. And we heard great things about Jordan Lydon's debut in midfield alongside Michael Doherty, who we know can pick apart defences at this level with that left foot. So I'm hoping that Swindon are rightful favourites. I'm hoping that they're going to be the dominant team in this game, and I think that they will be able to get the win. And to be honest, if they do, it's a fantastic start to the season for them. They lost to Chelsea Youth in the newly named EFL Trophy.
Leasing.com.
There you go, Leasing.com Trophy.
There you go. Invoice in the post, Leasing.com.
But it was very much a sort of, it was a few players who Wellens is trying to get rid of, basically, and a few reserve players, not too many first team players. So not too worried about that. Swindon to beat Carlisle is my next best bet at home. Around even money, if you shop around, you should get better. And that's that for me. What about your third selection?
Yeah, I don't want to bang this drum too much, but anyone who listened to the Monday show, and if you haven't, then why haven't you? We'll know that I wasn't particularly impressed with Stevenage on opening Saturday in the early game against Salford. And I'm just going to go with my hunch a bit that maybe they are a team who are going to be really struggling this season. And if so, Exeter, who squeezed past Macclesfield with a very late goal, it must be said, from Ryan Bowman, and didn't particularly impress. Macclesfield had their chances during the game as well. And you couldn't really say they were particularly good value for that win. But they're a team that I think have recruited well in the summer. Matt Taylor's a manager that I think is going to keep improving, and who did a very good job in his opening season last season. I mean, remember how tough a job that was with Paul Tisdale finally leaving the club, and anyone who came into that role was going to have a tough time, and he made it look very easily and got them on the fringes of the playoffs. And Stevenage, I just think there's a chance that they could be really, really struggling this season. Barely turned up against Salford. A lot of people thinking that was a sign that Salford might be the real deal, but I just have a feeling they were up against very, very poor opposition. So there's not much between them. Stevenage enjoy home advantage. Obviously, at a neutral venue, Exeter would be favourites, but the 17-10 about Exeter winning is attractive to me, and we'll be seeing some of my money. So hopefully I'll explain why.
Tidy, my third and final selection is tentative, which is not a great start, is it? But I basically, having really gone through the League One games from the weekend, there's three League One teams who are 2-1 or longer this weekend that have piqued my interest, shall we say. And they are Rochdale, who are at home to Doncaster. They are Gillingham, who are at home to Burton. And they are Wickham, who are away to Bristol Rovers. I'm going to go with Gillingham out of those three as my last selection here. I think with Wickham, while it's actually not all about the fact that they obviously trounced a cobbled together Bolton side last weekend, it's more to do with what their starting 11 looked like, quite strong, and the fact they've got more bench options than we would expect them to have at this early stage of the season. Bit of extra investment in at Wickham in the last month or two, and it seems to have brought with it the ability to add a couple more quality players to the squad. You know, we saw Onya Dinma join, Wheeler as well, and these are quite impressive players. So I'm definitely keeping an eye on Wickham. They are away at Bristol Rovers, but I'm not going to pick them. I've gone with Gillingham, haven't I? Because, sorry, I'm still sort of talking myself through it. I was also impressed with Gillingham. They drew at Doncaster. They went ahead early and they looked really bright in the opening period of that game. They have not really replaced Eves with a like-for-like striker. They have got Mandron in the squad, but he didn't play on the weekend. It was their really mobile, skillful, pacey front four that caught my eye. Brandon Hanlon at the top of it, with Jakubiak, Charles Cook and Njoli, who's on loan from Bournemouth and looked quite bright, behind him. And then behind them, you've just got Cisse, who they signed from MK Dons, and O'Keefe sitting in front, screening the defence. So I quite like that front six for Gillingham in space. And I think at Burton, or against Burton rather, I think Burton are the sort of team that are very comfortable in possession. I wouldn't be surprised if Gillingham cede possession, let them have it, and try and exploit that space with Buxton at the back for Burton, alongside John Joe O'Toole, who I was surprised to see playing centre-back. Brayford at right-back, you know, these are players who I would suggest are on the slower side. So I'm hoping that the pace of the Gillingham front line could be quite a lot for them to handle. So, you know, they're a home team. They're around the 2-1 mark. It's a tentative fancy, but Gillingham is my third selection here. What have we got left now to go through, George? What are you going to talk me through next?
You're off to Portman Road for what is a highly anticipated game between two of the biggest clubs to ever be in the third tier of English football. But I think it might be a bit of a snooze fest. Ipswich getting the win at Burton, with a deflected Luke Garbutt strike. Weren't particularly good value for their win. They had an XG of 0.6, but looked pretty solid. When they went 1-0 up, didn't really look in much danger, and that could tell some of the story as to why it was a low figure. But under Paul Lambert, he's a manager that we don't associate necessarily with taking too many risks, and it feels like his quest to take Ipswich back up to the Championship may be built on a sound defence. And with Sunderland, we all know the story here. Sunderland fans very upset with the way that they played against Oxford, with the same tactics, despite new personnel, of not going for the jugular, of generally looking to be pretty safe and struggling to create any chances from open play whatsoever, relying on a penalty to get the point. So it's a game that neither team will want to lose, given the fact that they will both believe they're going to be title rivals come the end of the season. And as we know, Jack Ross absolutely loves a 1-1 draw for Sunderland. And I think that's purely because of the way that he sets his teams up, not to attack from the off. And then when they concede, they're not particularly attacking again. So they struggle to get more than one on the board. I'm going to put the 0-0 in there too, because as I say, I think it could be a cagey one with both teams just desperate not to let anything go. So under 2.5 goals and a draw is 3-1. And that's my other bet for the weekend.
Under 2.5 goals and a draw, right.
So basically 0-0 or 1-1.
Okay, well, I know that Sunderland fans are getting pretty bored of that 1-1 scoreline. So for their sake, I hope
they enjoy the 0-0.
Well, quite. Look, I have gone with a central defender, first goal scorer bet for my bonus selection. That will be no surprise to anyone who listened to the betting show last season. We didn't really do goal scorer bets last season, but if I have my way, whatever happens to this betting show in the coming months, I will be selecting a lower league centre-back to score first. And I'm just really confident that this is something that I'm good at. So let's see how we go. I'm going to pick Matt Preston of Mansfield, who you can get at 28-1 with Bet365. First goal scorer. The beauty of that is you can also bet each way on this. So it's one third of the price each way. And it's unlimited places, which means Preston could score the sixth goal in this game and we'd still get that each way money. So it's probably my fun bet of the weekend every weekend, trying to pick a centre-back to score or someone from a set-piece generally is my thinking. Had a couple of good ones last season and hopefully Preston's going to get us off to a good start. Where have I come to this from? Well, Mansfield play three at the back. Pierce and Sweeney and Preston are all very good in the air, big targets from set pieces. They're playing against Morecambe, who play four at the back, so just the two centre-backs for Morecambe. My first thought is always, who's going to mark the third centre-back if it's a three against a two? So that was a place that I started. Mansfield, heavy favourites, as you'd expect for this game. Just 1.68 best price at the moment as I speak. They're at home. I'm expecting them to dominate it. And with dominance, generally, I'm assuming comes a fair amount of set pieces. They scored from a set piece against Newport, of all teams, the set piece masters. It was a brilliant ball in from Mellis and slammed home by the head of Christian Pierce. They have got a few different corner takers. Benning with the in-swingers from one side. They've got Mellis, who is suspended for this game, and it'll be, I reckon, McDonald, who is fairly hit and miss, but I think has it in him to whip in a good delivery. Preston's very tall. You know, he's a pretty standard centre-back, isn't he? He's happy to put his head on things. So with Pierce very short after that goal last weekend, I'm going to pick up Preston at 28-1. First goal scorer. Bet365, I'll be betting on him each way as well, so that if he scores any time, we've still got a 9-1 winner or a bit better. So there we go, George. There's our selections for this week. Thank you so much, guys, for those of you who sent feedback after we asked for it last week. Lots of good thoughts about how we could change the betting show, how we could improve the betting show. And the, you know, it was funny to get a real range of replies. There are many of you who listen who would like it to be almost more betting heavy, more Asian handicaps, and more complicated in some senses, I guess. And there's plenty of you who I guess you would class as the more recreational bettors who just want accumulators for the weekend. George, in terms of Akers, let's just have a quick word about that. It's difficult for us to really want to go down that path, I think, because for us, for neither of us, Akers just not really a big thing for us, are they?
Yeah, I don't really do them, to be honest. I mean, unless there's two or three that I think are like massive value, then it's not really the way that we bet. But there's nothing to stop you, of course, from putting all the stuff that we suggest and putting them in an Akka. But going around tipping up 2-5 shots to stick in an Akka is not really the way that we want to operate.
No, spot on. So do with our selections what you will, I suppose, guys. They are there for you to put together if you'd like, but very hard to win accumulators, isn't it? So that's something to think about. Hope you've enjoyed this betting show. We'll be back at the start of next week with a look back at the second weekend of the EFL season. Plenty of tasty fixtures, obviously, with the deadline of the transfer window happening for the Championship today as we record. I'm sure there'll be plenty of talking points there as well. Have a great weekend. Please share the podcast if you've enjoyed it. Please get in touch with us and tell us which of our selections you like as well, which ones you vehemently hate, and your own selections, your own fancies ahead of the weekend. It'd be great to hear from you. Thanks so much for listening. We'll speak again on Monday.